Hey there, just a heads up, this podcast is for grown-ups only. We're talking about adult stuff, think spicy language, mature themes, and topics your grandma might raise an eyebrow at. So if you're under 18, come back when you're older. For everyone else, enjoy the ride.
Welcome to Hacking Love, deepening commitment through open relationships. I'm Aiden.
And I'm Anna. We're so glad you're here. We created this podcast to explore the transformative power of ethical non-monogamy and how it can deepen connections in modern relationships.
We've been through it all, divorce, heartbreak, and figuring out what real commitment looks like. Now, we're here to share our journey and the lessons we've learned along the way.
Whether you're experienced in open relationships or just curious, we want this to be a space where we can dive into real conversations about everything from swinging to polyamory and everything in between.
We'll talk candidly about jealousy, desire, emotional growth, and radical honesty, basically everything that comes up when you step outside the conventional rules of relationships.
And if you're enjoying the show, we'd love it if you could take a moment to leave us a 5-star review on whatever platform you're listening to. It really helps us reach more people.
Absolutely. And we'd love to hear from you. Our contact info is in the show notes, so feel free to reach out with your thoughts or questions.
So let's dive in. It's time to hack love and discover what authentic connections look like.
Let's go.
Welcome back to episode 34 of
Hey guys, Happy Love. How's it going? I guess they can answer me.
So I know. Ask questions to y'all can email us.
Yes, email us and tell us how it's going.
Or come to Nicaragua with us.
Yes.
And tell us how it's going.
Yes, that's a great idea. Come meet us in person and tell us how it's going.
I know, exactly.
We'll talk about that in a little bit. I want to bring totally it up will. In the middle so that people listening will hear it.
Oh, that's
skipping
a good,
past.
Yeah, good point. Yeah. Okay, so what we're going to talk about today is our party that we just had.
Yes. A big buildup has happened the last Saturday. Three episodes.
We're talking about just all the what ifs and how we would feel if we saw each other kissing or having sex with somebody else, or if we were fine with separate play, separate rooms, me playing while you were DJing or not, how all of that would feel, because mentally preparing for these events just really helps. And discussing it ahead of time.
Yeah, we went through all the scenarios, didn't we? Like
yes.
Every possible scenario of us playing, not playing, what time, when, with whom.
Right.
Right.
So. And I feel like we ended up coming to, at the end, and we haven't even recorded on this, but at the end, right before the party, we both kind of came to do what you want.
Yeah, pretty much. After all those machinations, we said, let's just do what you want. And I felt really sincere about that. I'm like, I'm feeling good and just, you know, be free and do your thing. And you said the same thing. And so we went into it with open minds.
Yes, we did. So this was a much bigger party than we've had in the past. We've hosted these, what, have we done two or three?
This is our fourth.
It's gotten really popular. And so it was just a larger group and very diverse, all the way from people more like us who don't play very often and who are more selective and more interested in that one-on-one connection and getting to know people before, all the way to what we call sport fuckers who just want to get in, get done, get involved,
get to banging.
Yes, and they have so much fun. So we love it. Everyone is welcome. And they're very sex positive, but not sex required.
Yes,
because we feel like that just puts a lot of pressure on people, and that can sometimes be a turnoff, especially for me. And so I'm wondering if other women feel the same way, if there's just that pressure if you get to an event and everyone is immediately playing or there's pressure to play. So we just like to say very upfront in our invitation, this is a connection party that where play is perfectly allowed if that's what people want to do. And we have, you know, bedroom set up for that. And we have mattresses set up for that on one of our floors. If you want to be more out in the open with it, which I don't think a lot of people did this time.
Not really. There's a lot of heavy petting and stuff, but no one was really banging on the mattresses in the open.
Like
we did that time.
That's true. Most of the, we didn't bang on the mattresses in front of, oh no, we did in the swimming pool. We did.
Yes, we did that in front of everybody.
Yes, we did that. That was
we like doing that.
Very fun.
Yes. We got a little, okay, we'll get into it later, but we got a little, we had a little exhibitionism in this for us, so.
Oh, we did. We'll That's right. That. And that was actually fun.
But yeah, I like to say it's not a play party necessarily. Right. And so people feel very comfortable there. And as we've had these parties, they've come up to say, I feel so good here. The vibe is so good. It's curated. The people are really positive. They're good people. We kind of have a no douchebag policy where if someone just doesn't fit or they don't understand that vibe, they aren't invited back next time. So we've curated a really good group of people, and I think just that whole fun vibe without necessarily pushing on the sex part really kind of makes it different.
Definitely. I think when you take off the pressure, it allows people to feel more relaxed and to probably do more. When I feel a lot of pressure, I shut down, and I don't want to do anything with anybody but you. But when I feel relaxed and not pressured, then I'm much more likely to move toward a possible other playmate when I don't feel like there's expectation there.
You know, we haven't been to just a straight up sex party yet.
No, and we haven't been invited to them.
We've been invited. We couldn't make a couple of them.
Really?
Yeah. I guess in our group, they aren't all just, none of them are really just sex parties. You can go there, not play, but the expectation is that you play.
Okay, that's true.
And not, we failed early more, sometimes.
More play centered than our parties.
Right.
But not nearly as play aggressive or play forward as other groups in our town. Where we have not been invited to those.
Yeah, and we've not invited.
Our reputation precedes us that we might not participate.
We know people have asked about us and like, hey, what are they like? And our friends have said probably they don't play a lot. They have their own parties. You know, they probably gave them the goods on us.
Yeah.
And that's fine with us.
It's completely fine with us. I mean, I think that's correct. Yeah, we wouldn't be the best fit for those kind of parties.
So don't invite us then.
No, it's totally fine. I mean, there are parties that are almost like, I've heard of this. I've never heard of this in our town, but I've heard on other podcasts that there are some parties that are literally don't come if you don't plan to play, which I think is just so anti-consent because
well, I feel it's consent like if you go to the party.
That I don't like that either because
well, a lot
what
of people
if you
like that?
What if you think you want to and then you get there and you don't?
That's why they say come if you're not
it
planning
to play. It
doesn't
allow for changing your mind, which is anti-consent to me.
I'm sure it does. It's not like you're going to have sex now that you've entered. You could leave.
You could leave. Like, I guess if that's really important to you and you're curating it and it's your own party, you can make your own rules and you could just say, this is a play party.
Yeah, and there are people who, that's what they want. This is their thing. This is what they want to do. Some of them were at our party.
They were.
They want to go and bang. They really love it. They love sex with anonymous different people, strangers. Yep. It excites them, and it's not our bag, but it's theirs. And so I think a lot of people who have these parties, that's just their preference, and that's not our group, but that's a lot of groups.
Yeah.
And I think if you're talking about the, quote, swinger lifestyle, that is the default.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
We've kind of come to describing ourselves as open or open-minded, situational, selective, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
We're our own DIY bag.
Yeah.
And then it just changes with what's going on in our lives and how we're feeling at the moment. Mm-hmm. And but it is really cool to see at our parties because there is the total range, is just the different things that turn people on and just the sex positive nature of the E&M community in general is just like, what turns you on? What do you think might turn you on? Go ahead and try it. If you don't like it, you don't have to do it again. Mm-hmm. If you like it, go for it. There's no shaming and you really might discover things that you didn't think you were into.
Yeah, and I think the reason this works for us is what we want is a place to be free and be ourselves.
Yes.
And ultimately, that's what we're creating. I think that's what any of these parties are creating.
Yep.
You can go there and be yourself. You can be your flirty self. You can be your slutty self. You can be your just fun self, your conversational self. And there's no judgment. There's no, like what you might have at normal vanilla parties where it's just a lot of boring chit-chat, or even if it's a fun vanilla party, it's a lot of drunken people, you know, like,
yeah.
I mean, a fun vanilla party is typically people are pretty inebriated.
Right.
Because if they're not, it's kind of boring to me. I mean, to just go sit and stand with someone. If no one's drinking at a vanilla party, that seems like the most boring thing in the world to me. But that might just be me.
Well, we don't drink, so it's not boring to me necessarily. But what's boring is that there are all these topics that are off limits. Yes. And flirting is off limits. And like, so all these ways of connecting which for some reason I really enjoy connecting on an inappropriate level.
You do.
Like, I like flirting.
You always say, even in your vanilla life, you did.
I totally did. Yeah. And I would get in trouble for it with my ex-husband. But I just thought it was just so boring. Like, there's only so much talk I can do about our future vacations and kids. The accolades of my children.
Yes.
And what I do for a living.
Yeah, those are the three topics.
Like, right. And so, and that's fine, because those are fun. I, in fact, love talking about that stuff with our open lifestyle couples, because that's just fun and connective to learn more about them. But I think it's, I love having the full spectrum of conversational topics open, right? To be able to talk about sex and talk about their past experiences and ours and how it made us feel. Like, we just tend to get a lot deeper with these people, and I just think it's more interesting and more fun, and it's just funny. There are so many funny stories that come out of the lifestyle
and you couldn't tell at the vanilla party.
No, yeah. Like, yeah, all these stories that we tell you guys, like, we could not tell our vanilla friends at all. That would not.
That's why we tell you.
That's why we kept,
we
yeah,
tell we created you because the podcast. We can't share it anywhere else.
I know. We're like, we need a community.
Let's get into the party.
Yeah, let's do it. Okay, so why don't you describe this party?
Okay, so at my house, I have multiple levels at the home that I'm in. And I think we talked about on the last one that we were going to set up one floor as kind of the dance area.
Yep.
And then we set up the top floor as the cuddle puddle area.
Yep.
I think that was a great turn this time, because I think a lot of people come to these parties and it's always a little, even any party you go to, you're going to have a little social anxiety typically in the beginning.
Yeah.
You're just going to get to know, where are we? What am I doing? Where do I put my purse? You know, whatever.
Yeah, I do.
So we started with kind of like getting together. We took a big group photo, which was great.
Yeah.
And started chatting a little bit and everyone started mingling. And then I started my set.
Yeah.
And I only played about an hour. Last time it was 3.5, so
this was so
I
great.
Cut it, and it was no problem for me. I was happy to play and yeah. happy to end it when I did. And it was a disco theme thing, so it was
so fun.
It was all disco music, not all disco music. I played a lot of my more heavier bass stuff.
You did,
but the point was that it was a disco party, and but it's kind
like
of a
silver,
new, yeah, kind of a new disco party. It wasn't like a retro party, so
yeah.
That was kind of fun. And everyone loved the old favorites that were remixed, and so it was a lot of that thrown in there. So I think the music was right on point. And everyone danced, people dancing on the tables. And should we mention that we had a little mushrooms floating around at this one?
Yeah, so I think
we had kind of a loosener of mushrooms.
Yeah, so this wasn't an alcohol party. We did have a couple of people who chose to drink, but for these parties, they're more connective.
And so people were feeling good.
Yes, people were feeling good.
As soon as my set started, they started feeling really good, and that was great for me as
yes.
a DJ, because people
exactly.
were just enjoying it, dancing, really grooving with it, really vibing. There wasn't too much of anything, which was great.
No.
People were just enjoying themselves, and so that ended, and we all just kind of hung out, and it was there were enough people there where we could pretty much fill both floors. We had two rooms this time because I think there were just so many people there.
And don't forget I was on my roller skates dancing
yes,
to you.
Yes, disco queen here. Showed up in roller skates, and I didn't even know you were bringing them, and skated around the party like a pro, like doing her spins, and like, you, at one point, I gave you a camera to get some DJ footage, and you were like rolling through. It was like you're on a dolly. You were like
yeah.
rolling through. We had some great video of that, and so it was great. You were just shining in your disco outfit and your disco skates, and you were my number one dancer. It's always fun. So,
always. I think that went really well, because we had feedback from guests saying they really loved that we started on the second floor, which is like where the kitchen was, and it was dancing and chit chat first. So there wasn't this like immediately go up to the top floor where you're just sitting there and there's a little bit of pressure to play. It was like sort of.
Yeah, there was a nice opener and people were mingling and chatting and they got more relaxed as people were having fun. And so
yeah.
I think that really helped people get relaxed before we retired to the other room.
It was a really good timing thing that you made.
Yeah, I thought it worked really well. We'll probably do that again.
Yeah.
And so the next phase of it is everyone's on the fourth floor.
Yep.
And hanging out and lots of cuddle puddles going on and people talking. It was just a really good vibe.
Yeah.
This was by far our favorite party I think I've ever been
100%.
To in my life. It was that good. to me.
Same. It was very much my style, and I loved it. One of the things, you guys, we talked about in the previous podcast when we were prepping for this was, to what extent are we going to be hanging out together versus giving each other space to pursue, you know, connections or play with other people?
Yeah, so you had two opportunities. You had a guy that you roller skated with, which was the fastest way to your heart. Really good looking man.
Yes.
And the husband of Nicole, Tom, that we talked about in a few of the last podcasts, he was coming too.
Oh, right.
You forgot who he was already?
We have a lot of fake names. Yeah, right, around. Okay. Yes.
So he was there. And so you had the opportunity for two. And basically what I told you is just do what you want tonight.
Right.
I'm cool with whatever, if I'm involved or not.
Yeah.
And you're like very appreciative of that. And it just took the pressure off you to worry about me.
Totally.
So I felt good about that. And then I had someone I was going to plan to kiss under the disco ball.
Yeah.
And we ended up kissing and... because it was okay, but it wasn't you. And so,
Aww. And
I was just kind of.
She looked hot.
She did look really good. And I was just going to float around and see what happened. I didn't, I didn't really have anybody targeted.
Yeah. Did you kiss anybody else?
I had a few nice little kisses, but I wasn't really in the mindset. And I think that's kind of where we're going with this, is that neither of us was really in that mindset. We were so focused on each other.
Yeah. So here's the thing is, that I think both of us, as me especially, felt like I needed to sort of abandon you during parties to allow other women to access you and for you to feel free to go up to other women. But then through all of our talking in the past few episodes, I realized and started to actually believe you, because you've said this all along, that you really are happy just being with me. And I was like, well, I know I'm happy just being with you. So maybe if I just act on that and do what I want, which is to be with you, and you just tell me if you want to go have some time to roam by yourself, then we'll just do that.
Yep.
And so that's what we ended up doing. And it was so nice because I didn't have to second guess myself. I just did what I wanted all night.
Yes.
Like, I talked to the roller skating guy and he was super nice, but I had a little bit of a vibe beforehand
that he was very active,
that he was super active in the lifestyle, which is fine, but I tend to prefer a little bit more picky swingers, I guess, or just people don't play a lot because
I think you want to feel a little special.
Yes.
And there's the attention part of it.
Yes.
And we did discover that he was quite active and that he just went for the banging right away.
Yes.
And didn't really pay much attention to you because he had too many people to do.
Yes.
So, and he did immediately. Like, he was active throughout the party pretty much.
He was.
And at one point, we walk upstairs to third floor where the bedrooms are. And we're trying to get to my bedroom, but we had to go through the bedroom that people were playing in first.
Right.
And we walk in and didn't even notice what's going on. There's at least seven people on that bed getting at it.
Yep. I think there were eight.
Yeah, eight people. Yeah, because there would be eight, right?
Yep.
And that bed was not that big. It's a queen.
Yep.
It's actually on a futon frame. So I was like, I was worried about the frame breaking, actually.
Oh, like, good.
There were so many people in that bed.
There were six on there, and then there were two on your
workout
bench.
Yeah, so they were getting at it on the weight bench.
Yeah.
I'm like, putting that thing to good use.
It was beautiful, actually.
It was pretty
cool. And fascinating. Like, just the whole setup, it was just a lot of beautiful people in artistic poses. And we were fascinated.
So we hung around looking at it for a while.
We
walked through to the bedroom, and you get your phone or your bottle or whatever you needed to get. And you were kind of messing around in the bedroom. And I came back to that bedroom, and I could see you kind of messing around with something, trying to get something while I was almost in that room watching them.
Yep.
So I look over and roller skated guy's in there, and he's bisexual, as we know. And he looks up at me and turns around, and he kind of beckons me to the group, like, you want to join this? And I'm like, no thanks. I'm good. But Anna, can you kind of hurry up? Keep coming. I was like, I'm being summoned.
And I think the bisexual part is actually really hot, because as you guys know, I've mentioned on other podcasts, I dabble in some gay porn sometimes.
She doesn't mind seeing that. I don't want to participate necessarily myself, but it's fine for whoever is. And so, and I didn't see any
I just love men.
I didn't see any guy-on-guy action going on there, but
no.
He was inviting me to the group, and I was like, okay, and you were just taking your time in there, and I was like standing there waiting for you to come out. I could have just kept walking. I don't know why I didn't. But
because it was beautiful and fascinating.
That's not why I didn't keep walking.
Well, once I came out, you and I did stand on the edge and just quietly watch
for a good minute. Yeah.
For a little minute, which was really cool because we'd never seen anything like that in person.
It was special party. And the lights were cool. It was just an interesting
because we had all these great lights our friends brought,
cloud lights and stuff. So we stood and watched for a minute and then we left them to their own.
We have learned from other podcasts that if you're a spectator to any of this, the etiquette is to keep your mouth closed. Do not.
Oh, really? Yes. I didn't know that.
Yes. To not distract.
Where'd you hear that?
On multiple podcasts.
Okay. I'm good to know. I might have said something.
That people find it very distracting. And if someone's trying to come, that sometimes it can get in the way.
Did you shush me? Did I talk?
I think I remember you saying shushing.
And I was like, oh, we'll go.
I may have.
I'll be quiet now.
Just because of that. Yeah. I mean, who knows? There are maybe people out there who love commentary. But I've heard... Mostly what I've
heard... No, that would be distracting.
...is that what's appreciated is just...
Enjoy watching silence. If you want.
Enjoy watching if you want.
I kept thinking I had to ask for permission to watch, but that's not the case because they didn't seem to be distracted by me being there at all.
It's probably better to ask permission to watch, but I think they probably wouldn't have even noticed.
No, I don't think so either. They were pretty busy.
They were busy.
Okay, so we go upstairs and we just started. This is my time to enjoy the party since I'm not DJing. I'm not really having to host anymore.
Put it on Spotify.
Yeah, we put the playlist on in the house. And so everyone was getting the same music in all the rooms, which I really thought was kind of cool. It was kind of a melodic house set.
So when we went upstairs together, people were all over the mattresses and just hanging out, cuddling, talking. Pretty PG.
Yeah, smiling and laughing.
Smiling, laughing. And we found Superman and Wonder Woman, and we found the couple that we...
Both Superman.
Both Superman and Wonder Woman, yes.
Superman and Wonder Women.
Yes, two
were together, both of them. And so we were sitting with them, so all six of us had been together.
Yes.
They haven't been together.
They have not.
But we had been together with both of them.
Yes.
I don't think either of them knew, but they probably suspected.
Probably. Right? Yes.
But it was fun to hang out with them as friends.
It was so great.
And I was talking to my friend today about this, one friend I can talk to about this, and I said, yeah, we're sitting there, and we've slept with all these people that are sitting in the same area.
All.
And there's four. Zero awkwardness.
No.
It's like we've... It's people we've had dinner with.
Yeah.
There was no feeling of any nothing from the fact that we had been with these people because we're all in couples, because we're open and we're in the lifestyle, and there's just no conversation about it. Now, original Superman and Wonder Woman had said, hey, we want to see you guys again, and so I thought that was very flattering. Four of us, let's go out, and we're like totally down for that.
We'd definitely do that again. Yeah. That was the one you guys go back to... What was it? From Heaven to Hell?
From Heaven to Hell, yes. You'll learn all about that hookup in that one. And that's kind of who we're really still targeted on. They're just a really great couple. We enjoyed being with them, and they're both hot and connected with us, and so it was great.
Yeah, we have very similar relationship styles to them and to the other Superman and Wonder Woman. Like, I think all six of us are mostly monogamous, but we occasionally will play, but it's not all the time. But we enjoy all the cuddling and the connection and sexy talk and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yes, that was nice. That was flattering to be asked again. We knew that they'd see us again, but they both mentioned it to me twice separately that they wanted to see us again. So that's cool. So we'll do that. And that's really relatively safe for us. We don't have to go through the mental gymnastics to get to there. And really, when you talk about the gymnastics, I think we found in this particular event that we didn't have to do those anymore. And I'd love for you to describe what you came to in this environment, given that you were said, hey, green light and whatever, and how you said you just wanted to be with me and how I said I just wanted to be with you, and you finally believe me when I say these things. You guys have noticed a thread in these episodes that I'll tell her something and she won't believe it until at some point she decides to believe it. Oh, it is. You do love me the same as much as I love you. Yes, of course.
Well, I just make these assumptions that
why would I want to be with you? Because I'm with you all the time.
My daily pussy that you get all the time. How would that be just as interesting or more interesting than all the new pussy.
Because every time it's new.
I know. Well, I feel that way, but I have...
Yeah, but I can't feel that way.
No, because you're a guy. You all must always want new. Like, no. I saw it a Reddit post. This woman wrote in and said, I'm really asking this question. I am a full-figured, curvy woman, and I'm about to play with a couple where the wife is super thin. I do not understand why the husband is at all interested in me. Please explain. And all the men got on there and they were like, different pussy equals best pussy. And so I told you that story, yeah. And you were like, that's not the case for me. And I was like, yeah, that's probably not the case for everybody.
Your pussy is different every time because it's new and it's beautiful and it's awesome. And I just love what we have.
And it's us.
And it's us. Right. So I don't need the new thing. I think I've made that abundantly clear in these episodes, but I would do it and I've had fun with it and it's been great.
Yeah.
But I mean, you're my person, so that's just how it works for me. So continue with that. So you had just decided, or you at some point believed me.
It was a lot of different things. It was really helpful to talk about everything beforehand. And then I personally have been going through sort of a metamorphosis over the past month or two, in which I feel a lot more comfortable in my own skin, being myself, asking for what I want, and just being my full outrageous self, if that's what I'm feeling, and not feeling like I have to tamp myself down to make other people feel comfortable or people please or otherwise do things that I may not want to do and actively ask for and do the things that I do want to do, like being with you, mm-hmm. and not feel guilty about that. I don't know what has changed exactly, but I think it has to do with overall healing from a controlling childhood, a controlling marriage, being the oldest child, always being kind of a perfectionist and a people pleaser, trying to make sure that I don't upset the apple cart or anyone's moods, as if you can control other people's moods either. But when you're a little kid, you think that's the way to keep you safe, right? Mm-hmm. Is by pleasing. And so that's a lot of training that I'm trying to get rid of at this age and stage of my life, because I repeated it then in my first marriage. But being with you the last 4 years has been extremely healing. And then I've done a lot of work on myself through journaling and therapy and honestly talking with you and different spiritual journeys.
Yeah, you've just had so much growth for sure.
Yeah. And so it's just something finally came together where I just didn't, I don't feel that need to people please anymore. And I don't feel the need to hide. Like we were talking about our wedding today and you were saying, oh, Anna wants those tented seating areas so she can go hide. And I was thinking to myself, do I want to hide? I don't think I really do anymore. I think that was the case before. I think I'm a lot more comfortable and excited about just being fully out there for the wedding that we're planning.
Yes.
And
love that.
I'm super excited about it. I think I've always been a little nervous about being too outlandish or the center of attention, that I'm going to cause resentment among especially women, or
which it feels like you're over that.
I am. I really am.
Yeah, I think this event was a turning point. And I think we talked about that, mm-hmm. that, wow, like the things that you're telling me, you've not told me before. Mm-hmm. Like you were comfortable with going in there with no agenda, with being with me the whole time, if you wanted to, and if I wanted to, and that wouldn't make you feel like I'm not getting access or whatever and doing things I want to do.
Right.
Which, you know, to me makes no difference. And that you were just feeling really empowered and just comfortable. It's not always comfortable to be with 50 mostly strangers naked, you know, with people doing things
half naked.
A lot of them are fully naked, some mm-hmm. of them at certain times. And so that's a pretty big deal, don't you think?
Definitely. It just felt really good. Like I had no anxiety the whole night, which
it's amazing.
If you're a people pleaser, a lot of the social anxiety that goes with that is because you're spending so much brain power constantly scanning the room for the comfort of others, which can be a good thing. You want to be empathetic. You want to be a gracious host and make sure people aren't being left out or whatever. But it goes over a line for some of us, including me, where I start to imagine what other people might be feeling or thinking about me that may or may not have anything to do with reality. But it's a protective mechanism because everyone has to like me all the time. And I think I'm getting to that point where, no, they don't. Mm-hmm. I'm not for everybody, and that's okay. I'm not going to be an asshole. But me being myself is not a bad thing. I'm not a sociopath. I'm not, you know?
No, you're a beautiful person, and you're warm and engaging, and people love you. And I think a lot of that worrying about how they're feeling, if they're going to feel jealous or envious or talk about you behind your back.
Like, who does she think she is? Yeah. Putting herself out there like that.
Right. Wearing that. And that's been a core issue for you for a long time.
Very much.
And it was just so beautiful for you to show up like you did and to feel the way you did, at least the way you told me. And the great thing about it is you weren't exhausted. We went really late, way past the famous bedtime that you have and we've talked about for 34 episodes. You rolled right with me. You were there till the bitter end. Yep. And we went to sleep and we woke up and had a great day. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even know you could do that.
I didn't either.
You explained it, right? You said that you just weren't having to mentally feel the job of helping other people with their feelings.
Right.
Tell me about that.
Well, when you're not constantly trying to please others and you're not betraying yourself by doing things you don't want to do and you're just staying in integrity with yourself, I didn't feel any need to pay attention to men that I wasn't interested in or accidentally lead them on by doing things I feel bad, so now I'm going to flirt with them to make them feel better. But then, of course, that leads them to think that you're interested in doing more things. I just was very upfront with my body language, and my roller skates helped me
escape people.
And it was actually really helpful. So by the time we went upstairs, and that was another great thing about having the talking and dancing first, because mm-hmm. then I got to connect with my different potential people, make my decisions, mm-hmm. indicate with body language and relative attention what I was into, what I wasn't. So it was very clear by the time we got upstairs that I was basically going to be with you.
Tell me about how you interacted with those guys, like when you were like making your decision, like what was that process like and how did that work? Like, be detailed about it.
Yeah. So with roller skating guy, like there was some, it's very subtle, but there's certain ways that the more active guys will interact with women that are just more touchy feely. And, you know,
like I'm speaking straight to your face and rubbing your arm as they're talking to you.
Your ass.
Or your ass.
Yeah. I got a lot of ass grabbing. And for some women, that's amazing. And that's exactly what they want. And they are so into that. For me, first, I want the connection first. I need to have a little more buildup. And, you know, I think like a lot of women, I've had some negative experiences with men not really asking for permission. And so I do have a little bit of an extra sensitivity mm-hmm. to that kind of a thing, whereas some women just may not. And so I'm sure that as I get to know people better, some of that will fall away and I'll be totally down with having a random guy touch my ass. But for right now, where I am in my process, I prefer the talking first.
I think you also really want people to care about you if yes. they're interested in you sexually.
Right.
You want to know that they give a shit.
Exactly.
And genuinely interested. It's not just another hole.
Exactly. Right. That is so true. You're so true. Thank you for saying that.
So how did this body language work? So roller skating guy was touching you or talking to you.
And I could just tell that it was a little more of that. I've had that done to me before. And so I was like, okay, because my instinct was that he was a very active player, which of course is perfectly fine. Lots of our friends are very active players, but that's not exactly my speed. And so it kind of confirmed what I thought and it just made me pull back a little bit.
And he got the message?
I think so, because the next time I saw him, he was up in the orgies. I don't think he took it personally or anything. Yeah, he's a really cool guy.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
Well, we did get to talk a decent amount when we all went roller skating. And yeah, really like him. Really love his wife. They're amazing people. So who knows? Maybe in the future something more one-on-one.
And then what about Tom?
And then he was really sweet. So I made a point to tell him when we ran into each other, y'all, this was the guy that I sent all the sexy texts to.
In the last episode.
The night, yes, the night you were hooking up with his wife.
Yes.
When y'all were both out of town in the same town for business. And I was super aggressive with my sexy texts. And so when I first saw him, I was coming down the stairs and he was coming up the stairs and I was like, oh, can I get this close to you after the restraining order? And he just laughed and then he asked a question and then we ended up seeing each other later. And I was like, truly, I'm sorry. I went off the rails with that. I hope that wasn't like weird or uncomfortable. And he was like, no, it was fun and great. And I loved it and whatever. And he gave me a kiss on the lips and he gave me a big hug. Like he's a big, just sweet, sweet man. And it was like, don't worry about it. And I told him just basically that I had felt self-conscious about it because I felt like it made me look like a slut to you and to him. And he just laughed and he was like, that's like the whole point.
That's part of the deal.
I know. And
yes, you look like a slut to me and to him.
Super hot. Yeah, no, he was fine. And it was just really sweet. And then I think we chatted another time and that was it. And then he was...
he kind of disappeared.
Yeah.
Yeah, he and his wife. I didn't see much of his wife at all.
I saw them up on the top floor. He was laying down with somebody
else. Oh, yeah,
else,
they were kind of hanging out in the cuddle.
And she was hanging out with somebody else. But they were just laying next to... that's what I typically see them do, is like laying next to somebody else, but nearby each other.
That's true. They were doing that.
Yeah. And yeah, and just talking to the other people. Yeah. Not really playing much.
Touching and talking and stuff like that. Lots of that.
I've never seen him play or even kiss anyone else.
I haven't either.
But I have seen her.
I've definitely seen her play.
Yeah. Yes, you have. Yes. Up close and personal.
Yes, I have.
That was so fun for y'all.
Let's talk about that too, because I think you're a lot more comfortable with the touching and the cuddling that doesn't lead to sex necessarily. And I think on a previous podcast, you and I had a pretty interesting discussion about how I grew up in rave culture.
Yeah.
And it was very common to touch and caress and cuddle friends.
Yeah.
Or people that you just met, but not sexually, and not having it have to lead to something.
Right.
And a lot of that in the day was led by, you know, MDMA and the other things that we were on that were just very empathic substances. And so that's unique, I think, to the rave culture in some ways. But in this case, it was similar. And so I think you've also come around in this metamorphosis you're talking about to, wow, I can just hang out with a man and caress while we talk in a group or whatever and not think, wow, they think I want to fuck them.
And that's for certain people. Yes, I can absolutely do that.
Right. You have to trust them first.
I have
to
know that that's their intention. No, then trust them. Yes, yeah. Exactly. And I have a really good instinct, honestly, for those who want to go further. And I have things I'm comfortable with and things I'm not. Like if somebody's just rubbing my arm or rubbing my leg, fine. But like the one guy at the end who started rubbing over my underwear in the front, I was not into that.
But the same guy that was giving the massage?
Yes, exactly.
Oh yeah, so he went too far.
Yeah, and
he was like a stranger. Like I saw him later in the party. I'm like, wait, who are you?
I've never
seen your face.
Yeah.
And didn't know how comfortable I was with him. And I asked, well, what's your name? He told me, he's like, well, who invited you here? And he said, our friends. I'm like, okay, they're cool if they invited you. And they did say they were bringing a couple that we didn't know. But I was a little standoffish. I think that the vibe wasn't right with him in my mind.
Yeah, yeah, you
nice
might be
guy.
Right.
I mean, perfectly nice
he
guy.
He was, and his wife was amazing.
Yeah,
She was a sweetheart.
But they were very active, and they were there to fuck. And
they were in the
orgy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
I wouldn't guess that about her. They got involved.
Yeah, they got very involved.
I love it.
But, you know, they're used to going to sex parties. That's pretty much what I'm gathering, which is fine. But then when it was you and, like, outside the underwear, what did you do at that point? When he did that?
I moved, and I let him do it for a little bit. And then I was like, I kind of sat with myself about, was I just letting him do it out of people pleasing and not embarrassing him, or did I really want this? And so eventually I like moved, crossed my legs and sort of just
did that. You did it. You turned away the sexual advance on your own in a polite way.
Yes.
And just moved away.
Because I am okay with certain things, but for some reason I'm not okay beyond a certain line. with certain people yet. Right. And the same happened with that other new guy. We were talking to him and his wife. Right. And
he was getting a little handsy.
Well, it wasn't that. He was actually fine where he was touching me, just caressing my leg. But at one point, he grabbed my ankle really hard, like making it immobile. And I don't like that. Yeah. I don't like
being restrained out of, by a stranger right there.
No. Yeah, no. And that's when I started squeezing your arm and I started just kind of moving away.
I remember looking at you like, what's going on?
Yeah. Or he just had it really hard. And I was like, you don't restrict my movements. Yeah, right. I had a very visceral reaction to that.
And did he notice?
He must have, because I moved it out of the way and crossed my legs toward you and got more snuggled on you.
I think that's another mini win.
It is.
Yeah. Because now you know you can be in these environments and have the ability to not people please, to not give in, to not let it go on too long, to make with your body language and with your movement known what you want. And it was fine.
And I think it's all part of the deal. I am not criticizing these men. I will start by saying
it's definitely part of the deal for people who go to sex parties.
100%. This is all part of the deal. And I think that's where I get with people that I don't know very well, and they don't know me very well. So they have no way of knowing that I have certain lines that I don't want crossed. And so it's up to me to communicate that however I want to communicate it. And it's up to them to catch the vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If they don't, they get asses thrown out.
Pick up what I'm throwing down. I know. I've never had that, thank goodness.
Well, I'll tell you, for my part and just watching and listening to you and the things that you're saying about your experience with this, I just see even more growth. I see more empowerment, more understanding of what you want, what you don't want, how to communicate that, and how to communicate you want to be with me all night. And funny, I want to be with you all night too. And
it felt so selfish.
It wasn't. So we were in our own little cuddle puddle for a long time, and so I just got seriously turned on. I was just really excited. And we went to the bedroom.
Yes.
And that door had been previously locked. And you had the bright idea to open the door. You want to open the door and see if anybody just walks by and watches? I'm like, yeah, sure. And make it a little public. And then we're having sex. You're on top of me. It's hot. The light's on. And people are walking by. And you're not seeing them because you're on top of me. You're facing the bed and I'm facing the doorway. And so I keep seeing people walk by and I turn my head. Hey, what's up? You know, like, I didn't really know how to react to people because I could see them. And they could see me seeing them. And they'd walk by, they'd stop and go, And then they'd keep walking, stop and, And then at one point, roller skating boy comes and, hey, what's going on? Sits down right with us.
Yep.
While I'm fucking you. And we didn't pay any attention to him. And he got up and left.
My defense, I was right in the middle of, orgasm. So I was very focused on you. You did acknowledge him, which I thought was polite.
What's up, bro?
What's up? Yeah, I think that's what you did.
He was literally right next to me.
I know. He really
just sitting there watching us.
I thought that was hot. I didn't mind that.
But he did end up leaving. I expected him to make a move or something. And he just left because I guess he wasn't getting the invitation.
Yeah. When I have met him before and talked to him, he seems like a very sensitive, intelligent person who probably is able to pick up on that. And so where we were in our stage was where we were, and we were just with each other. And I think he felt it, and he just was like,
which is how it should work.
Yeah.
So then you said, should we close the door?
Then I was like, maybe we should close the door. Is that sort of inviting people in if you have the door open? Like,
and we had a debate about that, whether it's an invitation if you leave the door open or if it's just an invitation to watch. And I wasn't sure.
At sex clubs, it's an invitation to join if you leave the door.
But this is not a sex club.
So what we ended up landing on was having the
slightly
door
open.
Slightly open. Like a foot, a jar.
Yeah, it's not exactly an invitation, but an invitation to watch. Peek in.
I don't know. I don't know if anybody else saw us after that.
I know. They did. I kept seeing
you. You kept track.
Yeah. So that was fun.
It was really
amazing sex too, of course, because the whole sexual charge of the environment was really hot, and it just made me crazy for you.
It was amazing.
So
it was good times. And I also loved when we were up on the mattress with the Supermen and Wonder Women, just all the snuggling that went on, especially original Superman and Wonder Woman, were like, she was we had her sandwiched between us at one point, and like he had his head in my lap and I was just kind of rubbing his head, and like we were just talking, and then she was dancing in front of us.
It was a special moment.
It was special.
And it's just the thing that really just amazes me is we're like friends that are hanging out who happen to have slept together.
Yeah.
And again, there was just no awkwardness or weirdness. It's just like, we're there, they're there, they're having fun, we're having fun. And it's just no negativity, no awkwardness, no anxiety. And obviously we're comfortable with them. You know, we've already been with them. So the comfort level was way high.
Yes.
And even they weren't like making overt sexual advances at all. Which was perfect for the moment.
100%. I don't think they are... The people we've been with are not into groups. Well, that's not true. The second Superman, Wonder Woman...
They are,
likes groups. They like groups, but yeah. I don't think they partook.
They didn't.
Yeah, I think they've been doing some processing and just stuck together that night. Which is, they haven't been together that long. They've only been...
About a year and 3 months. Something.
So, I mean, think about where we were at that point. They're doing great compared to where we were.
Especially when they're actually going to orgies and they're hooking up with multiple people.
I know.
That's kind of her thing.
We definitely couldn't have done that.
Yeah.
Or I wouldn't have been ready for that after a year. So they're killing it.
Yeah, they're killing it.
Well, what else happened that night? So we ended up staying out till like 3 a.m, which for some reason I was able to...
You did it. I was so proud of you. I was like, oh my gosh, maybe I got my rave bay.
It was so nice. Everybody kind of left, and we had, like, the end core people, and we were all just back down to the second floor where the kitchen was, and I made a taco, and we were saying goodbye to people, and just snuggling and talking on the couch with friends, and it was a really nice end to the night.
It was really nice.
Yeah. And I think I was sleepy. I was kind of closing my eyes and leaning my head against your chest, and participating less and less in the conversation because I was getting sleepy, but I was still there.
You were still there. I was so happy.
Yeah.
And you weren't doing it for me. You were doing it because you were engaged in the conversation, right?
100%.
Yeah. That's different.
I was happy to be there.
That is new.
If I had wanted to go home, I was fully planning to go home at like 11.
And I was planning to move my decks upstairs because I was going to do a set when you left because I'm like, oh, I can play now.
Right.
But I was... not feeling like I wanted to play either. I was just glad you were there.
It really worked out.
Yeah. So I think we grew a lot from this experience. Not only just the most amazing party I think I've ever been at, but it just, at least the way I felt about it.
Yeah.
But also, we went in with all these expectations, anticipation. Who are we hooking up with? What's the next level? What's the next step? What's it going to be like when we get there? And are you going to be with these guys that you have interested in? Am I going to find someone? All of that went out the window. And totally. We ended up with who we wanted to be with, which was each other.
100%.
And we could have.
Yeah.
I could have found someone. You could have found someone. And we were...
We could have.
We were ready to go. And I think we were both comfortable with that thought at the moment.
I think so.
That's just so funny how that worked out. We told you guys, whatever you think is going to happen is going to be totally different.
Best laid plans.
That's the best laid plans. You might not lay.
You might not lay or get laid or
you'll lay with each other. Or you'll lay with other people. But it never works out how you anticipate. And the anticipation is some of the fun, right? It's just the nervousness and the excitement and a little bit of the jealous-sidedness that comes along with it.
Yeah.
And we just really did what we wanted to do. And we wanted to be with each other, which is kind of what we want anyway. So just an amazing turn of events, really.
We weren't together all night long, stuck like glue. We definitely had times where I was on my own, you were on your own.
And I wasn't even thinking about it. Like,
it was just natural.
When you disappeared, I'm like, okay, what's she doing? Where'd she go? I'm going to go find her. Maybe I'll join her, whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah.
And this time I was like, oh, where'd she go? She's probably having fun talking to some people. And
I wasn't there was thinking no about anxiety it
about that at all. Just because I think we had the freedom and we'd already talked about it and gotten it out of there. And if you came back with a story, I would have been fine with it, and it would have been fun.
Yeah.
And same thing for you. I just think it's the freedom kept us pretty much together. Which is the theme of this entire podcast, which is the freedom will keep you together. If you enable your partner to be free, they just want to come back to you eventually. I think at some point I told you, too. I said, even that night, I think I said, if you get together with Tom, I'm kind of really okay with it because I think you'll be like I have been, which is we had sex and it was fine.
Right.
And maybe all of these ideas of like, I've got to be the separate person, I've got to do this thing, maybe that would temper a little bit. Not that I want that. I want you to have a good experience.
Right.
But my idea was, okay, go do it. And then I think you're going to have the same experience I had. I don't know why you wouldn't. Like, why wouldn't you have the same experience I had where she wasn't you? She was not nearly the level of sexual connection that we have, any of the women I've been with.
Right.
And you'll discover that and you'll come back. And that was a breakthrough for me.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to come back and it's going to be, it might be great, but it's still not us.
It's not the same.
And I haven't believed that for a long time.
And that's one of my notes. I didn't take a lot of notes for this episode, but one I did take was that I want the chance, part of me wanting to play separately is that I want the chance to prove to you that I would come back.
Well, after, of course you're going to come back.
After playing separately, because I know one of the things we talked about is that I have experienced twice you coming back to me after playing separately.
Yes.
Whereas you've never experienced me playing separately, so it's still an unknown and a little, or it could be a little bit more of a fear, but it sounds like it's not really anymore.
It's not anymore. And yeah, and you're right, but and the coming back is true, but not only the coming back, but really appreciating you.
Exactly.
And I know that I finally got to the point where I could say, she's going to really appreciate me after she has another experience with
me. Yes.
And that took a lot. And but I'm at that point where it's like, okay, you can do this. This is a pretty big milestone. Like,
huge.
We're moving to, I'm pretty much okay with it.
Yeah.
And maybe in any other form, maybe it's you going on a date, maybe it's us being at a party or us finding something, whatever that is. I think I'm okay with it.
And probably still situational based, you know,
yeah,
on the
definitely
person.
Situational. Like, and Tom, the planning and the talking about it.
100% all of that.
Right.
Because we talked about Tom. Tom is such a nice person, like a solid
totally trust him.
Guy, like up there, that was an easy one.
Yeah.
But if it had been somebody new, I get the whole situational thing. And I want to talk about all of the what ifs. And
I'm wondering if it had been somebody new, if I would have felt much different.
I don't know.
That night, I might not have.
You might not have.
If I knew him already and trusted him, and you're like, yeah, this is the guy I want to be with. We're going to go to the bedroom. It'd be hot to hear that. And also, it'd be jealous-iting is what it would be. But it's not like a fear. It's not from a fear anymore. The fear is like, oh, it's just that base fear that all of us men have had. That she's going to go and it's going to be amazing for her. She's just going to go off the rails. She's going to want to do it all the time. And we even talked about that recently.
Yeah.
That you're just, what if you want to keep doing this again and again? Where does it go? How's the play out? And now I can think of you go off and have another experience and you come back and it's, my guess is it's just not going to be the same.
No.
It could be different. It could be really good, which I hope it would be. But it's not the same as us.
No, and it'll spice us up like crazy.
Yeah, that's the other piece of it.
Just turn me on insanely
and me.
For you.
I mean, the reconnect sex and it's the anticipation sex. I don't even know what you would call that. And then
pre-claim.
The pre-claim sex and what used to be called the reclaim sex, but we're calling it reconnect sex.
We like that
after
better.
The experience. And that could be weeks.
Absolutely.
And it can last well into your relationship as all of this stuff has for us. So, yeah, we're going to El Salvador in 2 weeks. On another lifestyle event, which is a wellness retreat kind of mixed with lifestyle people, which
yes.
is why we're going through our friends at Naughty Gym. But also there's our own little mini retreat we're doing to Nicaragua.
Very first event.
Three verbals from couples. We have a spot for one more couple. So today's April 15th. We have three couples who've given us a verbal commitment on this. They're very excited. And we've got room for one more couple. We've finally figured out there's only 5 bedrooms, so we have to have 5 couples, not the 6 or 7 that we wanted. So we have a spot for one more lucky couple. If that's you, if what we say appeals to you, if you really want to learn more about your partnership, this is not a play event. This is a get to know your partner event. We've got lots of programming and stuff for you guys to take advantage of, lots of relaxation opportunities, activities. It's a beautiful 20,000 square foot house in Nicaragua.
With a chef,
private chef. And when you, if you go to the Facebook group, you can see pictures of the place. You can get more details about what we're doing, what we're planning. But someone listening to this is saying, wow, wouldn't that be amazing to go spend 5 days with this awesome couple and 3 more awesome couples who are all basically in the same place on their journey as we are. They're still trying to figure things out. They're not expecting to play. They don't want to play. They want to connect with each other and learn how to be more open with each other. They've dabbled with it. They've talked about it. Maybe they haven't done it at all. And they're excited to learn more. So come join us. We've got one more spot and we're holding it for you.
come hang out with us. It'll be so much fun. And just like grown up summer camp.
Yeah. You want to talk about what you're planning to do there, the health coaching and such?
Yeah. So I'm going to do, I'm a functional medicine health coach in my job. So I help men and women to make people feel their best and prevent disease before it even happens.
So you're going
to
do a session?
I can do sessions on hormones and peptides and weight loss, thyroid health, nutrition, supplements. So
if you come to the event, you're going to have personalized health coaching from the best health coach on earth here.
Bring your labs.
Bring your labs or talk to us about how to get them. Yeah, that would be great if they could bring their labs and you can do a little analysis for them.
I know.
And so you typically charge $1,200 to $1,500 for that. Mm-hmm. That's going to be a part of this.
It's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work. I think we're asking $900 donation for this just to cover our expenses. And I don't even think between four couples it will cover all of our expenses.
That we're no, that's so, okay. It's our first event.
An event you pay for and sign up for and do a contract with. It's very much a get together with friends on the beach and help us defray some of the costs that we have. But other than that, just buy your ticket to Managua or Liberia, Costa Rica, and you can look at the dates. You can contact us for specifics. I know there's a lot of questions that would come with this, but come join us. It's July 10 through 14, and it's going to be a blast.
So I think it's really going to be fun and super chill. And
we're a barrel of fun, guys. If you
very I know. Very much what you hear on the podcast. This is very much us.
You're going to hear it in person.
We started this by recording our evening's fireside chats, essentially. And we didn't even know we were going to make it a podcast. So
I don't think we knew until episode 4 that we'd make a podcast.
100%. You can hear us discussing.
You're publishing these or
are
not?
Are we doing this?
We really want to do this?
I was like, I think we are.
What if we get outed? What's going to happen? Oh, my God. This is crazy. Now we're like, okay. If we get outed, then the person outing us was also listening to an open-minded podcast. So
exactly. And a lot of you who found us are monogamous and are just open-minded or learning more or want to have a more honest, transparent, connective relationship in general.
We flirted with changing the title to Deepening Connection Through Honest Relationships because that's really what we're doing here. We're
so
open,
true.
Which encourages and demands honesty.
Yes.
And that is the trick, that when you're open, you have to share. You have to be honest. Tell me how you really feel.
Mm-hmm.
And you go deep. And then you realize all these amazing relational benefits out of it.
Definitely.
So come see us if you can. Keep listening. Please share this with anyone you know that you think this could help. We're out there to help people. That's really what we want to do. I think we're already changing lives. We get the emails on the daily of people telling us their stories and how some of the things that we've shared here have helped them, which is just the best thing for us. That's the one thing we want from this, is to affect people's relationships and help them do better and get closer and overcome all of these obstacles that have been drilled into our heads through our lives.
We have the best listeners.
We do.
This is a high quality group.
Yeah.
They're super thoughtful, the emails that we get. It's incredibly impressive, which is what gave us kind of the nerve to say, hey, maybe we could try our first little event. Like, I wouldn't mind hanging out with some of these people. Y'all are cool.
One of the couples that's coming, the lady said, the night before you announced the Nicaragua trip, we were thinking, we really want to go on a lifestyle trip, but not a lifestyle trip. Wouldn't it be great if Anna and Aiden would put their own trip together? And the next day she saw the post.
That so, is a sign.
We're manifesting this shit, you guys. That was a sign.
It was a sign.
And she's going to join us.
I'm so excited.
Look forward to meeting you, if not here, online. And wait for the next one, I guess.
Yeah. And once we get commitment for the other couples, we will probably set up a Zoom with everyone who's committed.
Yeah, that's the plan.
And talk details. So.
All right, guys. Next episode is definitely birth control pill.
Yes.
Yes. We're going to talk about the massive effects it has on women's bodies and what it does to their bodies and psyches and hormones and everything. And so we'll do a more topical one.
I'll give you my personal experience on it, how it changed my life and my labs and my health, and talk to you about the research on it too.
Yes, there's a lot of research and science around what birth control does to a woman's body and her own, her life, really.
And even if you want to stay on it, right, that at least you know what's happening and you're making an active choice and you're not blaming yourself if you're not feeling your best.
Yeah, so we'll get into that for sure.
Some personal failure.
Well, excited, guys. Well, thank you so much for listening. It was a fun time, and we've got more fun times to share.
Yeah, I'm sorry we don't have any crazy sex debates for you.
I was thinking we were going to disappoint everybody because we didn't come back with any hot sexcapades.
I know. I'm like, I rubbed Superman's head.
I was like, that's not good enough.
Kissed on the lips.
Yeah, you failed.
No tongue.
No, you totally failed our listeners.
I totally failed.
They were waiting to hear about how you got railed.
I did get railed.
That's true.
But you.
Yes, you did. All right, guys. We'll see you on the next one. Thank you.
Bye.
Leave us a review, please. Bye.